On the programme this morning, I want to talk to John Manley, who is the political editor with the political correspondent with the Irish News. And he's got a story there about what some people are, you know, whispering about to some extent as there on the front page. A new pro-EU unionist party is planning to run against the DUP MP Ian Paisley, described in the Irish News as shamed DUP MP, in what's expected to be a forthcoming North Antrim by-election. The Both Unions party believes Brexit poses a threat indeed to the United Kingdom and advocates a second referendum on EU membership. John is available to have a conversation with us. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Frank.
So first up, John, tell us everything you know about Both Unions Party, the Both Unions Party.
Yes, well, this is part of, we may not have government in Northern Ireland, Frank, but there's no shortage of political drama with RHI, Brexit, confidence and supply deal, and of course the fallout from Ian Paisley's unregistered luxury holidays in Sri Lanka. This is part of that particular drama, and a new political party calling itself Both Unions Party, which is a reference to the European Union and the Union of Northern Ireland and Great Britain. They are a new party that's fronted by a chap called Dirk Hazel, who is the former leader of the sort of centre-right pro-alliance European People's Party in the UK. And they were supposed to, disgruntled Tories who didn't like the Eurosceptic, emerging Eurosceptic bent in the Tory party. And they went, they broke ranks some time ago. Now, they are working away in the background. They are disillusioned by Brexit. They believe Brexit poses an existential threat to the United Kingdom, and there are some merits in that argument. As you know, we previously the talk of a border poll was off the agenda. Suddenly, it's back on the agenda since the vote in June 2016. So now they're planning. They registered with the Electoral Commission in Northern Ireland earlier this week. That's the Both Unions Party, and they're planning to contest. If there is a by-election in North Antrim, and we will find that out next Thursday, in the early hours of next Thursday morning, they're planning to contest the by-election and run against Ian Paisley on a pro-EU unionist ticket.
They're not there to replace any other parties that might be standing against Ian Paisley. They'll go into the mix with maybe five or six other parties.
Well, it seems so. It seems so. Now, one of their main backers is a chap called John Stevens, who's a former Tory MEP, a marginally eccentric chap who stood previously against the Speaker of the House of Commons, Stephen Borkow, in 2010 in the general election. He has been looking at the possibility of forming alliances with other parties in North Antrim, but I don't think they're getting much traction at the minute, so they may just be forced to run on their own.
So, if we were looking at Paddy Power's shop front now and we're going through the door, we would be putting our money on Ian Paisley to beat them up and down and over and across.
I would think so. I would think so. Now, I think there's an acknowledgement within Both Unions Party that they wouldn't top the poll, and that they might not even, you know, the possibility. Well, I don't think they would say they're going to lose the deposit, though that is a possibility. But what they really want to do is, to put it crudely, it's a publicity stunt. They are highlighting the problems that they believe that Brexit will create for the union, and they believe that the DUP in many ways is walking blindly into this scenario. Their aim, as I stated in my article, is to secure a second referendum on EU membership, which they believe will be more necessary if there's a no-deal Brexit.
You reckon from the people that you're talking to, the canvassing that you would be doing for opinion generally as a political correspondent, that there is a growing appetite for a second referendum, or do people have so much respect for the democratic process that it would be weak to accept the idea?
Well, yes, that's exactly the dilemma, is that, you know, even though, well, there are many people who believe the UK should remain in the EU and would probably like to see a second referendum, the likes of the former NIO minister, Barry Gardner, for example, the Labour MP, he argues that to go for a second referendum is against the democratic will. I mean, there again, there are merits in that argument. You know, some people say in the Republic that they re-ran referendums on the European matters until they got the result they liked. I'm not sure they would stand for that in the UK.
And just one final point, John. You know, there's a long list of horror stories if we get a hard Brexit. The latest one that's been talked about before, has been talked about again, is the price of a mobile phone call along the border. We're going to lose this advantage of roaming charges having been dropped.
Well, that was one thing that was worked on for many, many years, and it would affect people from your part of the world, Frank, in South Down, would just, you know, inadvertently pick up signals from the south and inadvertently then incur charges. And yes, that's one of the possibilities, like many others that do with the aviation driving licenses. Yes, really, it's a very uncertain future.
Yeah, the other one, of course, there's so much talk yesterday about you not being able to drive in Europe with your British driving license if there's a hard Brexit. But, you know, is it scaremongering, John, or indeed is there more or less no chance of a hard Brexit? There'll be something ironed out or not. What does a political correspondent think?
The likelihood is, and I believe your colleague is going to be talking to Alex Kane next, and Alex's favourite word, I think, is fudge, and that's what we will get ultimately before next March. Now, how things play out subsequent to that is all dependent on so many variables, and that the primarily being one is who is in charge in Westminster and Downing Street, I think, whether it's a pro-Brexiteer or a Remainer.
Thank you very much. John Manley, thank you. You can read John's story on the front page of the Irish News this morning. Listen, good morning. Good morning to Alex Kane. How are you, Alex?
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I am very, very well indeed. John Manley from the Irish News was on a few moments ago. I asked him a question. I asked him a series of questions, and the one that I asked him towards the end was whether or not we'd have a hard Brexit or might something be ironed out as a last-minute deal. And he said, I know you're going to be speaking to Alex Kane, and Alex won't get through the conversation without using the word fudge. So is it British fudge or European fudge that you're going to be talking about, Alex?
I'm shocked, Frank, that you should dare suggest I would say fudge. Yeah, it will be fudge, obviously. What they will do, they know how they have this problem. The hardline Brexiteers, the Jacob Rees-Mogg, Boris Johnsons, it's become, I think they're concerned now more with a second referendum, which will keep us in the EU altogether. So I think they will actually back down at some point fairly soon, because even from their point of view, a soft Brexit, a fudgy Brexit, at least where you've got one foot in, one foot out, is much better than a situation where they topple her, you know, cause chaos in the party, force a general election, force a defeat in the House of Commons. But basically somebody goes, well, let's just put this to the people again. And all the indications would suggest, and one has to be careful about opinion polls, but most of the anecdotal evidence and statistical work been done would suggest it probably would be a majority now, just say, well, let's not rock, let's just stay where we are. Nobody seems to know what we're doing, so let's just stay in the EU. They don't want that to happen. So, yeah, I think John's right. There will be some sort of constructive ambiguity, to borrow from David Trimble and the Belfast Agreement. You know, it'll be, no, the United Kingdom will end up as some sort of constitutional granny flat, where you're sort of not really part of the European Union, but so close that it makes no difference.
It is a great analogy, the granny flat. I do like that. Of all of the ones that have been used about our future, it's probably as good a one as you'll get, if that is your line of thinking.
That is a line I first used 4 years ago. I've seen it picked up just about, and credited, and must have meant a couple of national papers to me. But yeah, I think I'm the first person to use it soon.
So it's your own line, Alex.
It is just
you can't claim fudge, but you can claim the granny flat.
I can claim constitutional granny flat. Yes, unless someone can tell me that I've used it before, and I've said if anyone knows it has it, because I always like to say just in case the line has been accidentally borrowed or it's sunk into my head from somewhere else. I'll say if someone saw this first somewhere, let me know, because I don't mind saying actually to credit in someone. But so far, and I've used it for 4 years, and nobody said it was used by somebody else first. So
what do you mean?
Claiming it.
What do you make of the Both Unions Party? Is it a political grouping to be considered as having some strength in the future?
I'm not sure, Frank. It's one of those odd things. If they're turning this into a contest between hardline, assuming of course it becomes a contest between hardline Ian Paisley on Brexit and a group who say, well, we don't want a Brexit at all. We want a Remain. It then depends who backs that group. And no harm to them, because I don't know very much about them. But if, for example, you know, there is, and we'll know this time next week, actually. I think the recall petition ends on the 19th at 5 o'clock. So they'll probably do a formal announcement the following morning. If it does become a contest in this group, whoever they are, then start getting back in from the likes of Alliance, for example. And I'm not saying they will, Frank, if they started getting back in from the likes of Alliance, or maybe even Sinn Féin, they decided not to put up their own candidate to back this candidate.
But could Sinn Féin step out to the advantage of a party that's called Both Unions?
Let's put it this way. If they step in, it's going to be messy either. The point I was going to make about the first one is that's what they would do. It would help Ian Paisley enormously, because anything backed by Sinn Féin and North Antrim will be to his advantage. Even people who disagree with him will still back to make sure he gets in. But I'm not even sure what they mean by the two unions. It's vague. You know, it's clearly a pro EU group, which I can understand. I'm not quite sure why they need to bring in plus we're a pro United Kingdom, we're pro that. I don't entirely understand. For me, that has slightly muddied the waters, because I'm not quite sure what their pitch is supposed to be. You know, let's be honest, during the referendum, the Ulster Unionist Party was that party. Its official position was we think it's better to stay. They won the Remain cap. That was Mike Nesbitt's pitch. And to all intents and purposes, it was a party policy. You know, we support the union, we also support the European Union. So you'd have thought, are they trying to muscle in on what would have been UUP territory? Are they just trying to, because if they go to their voter and say, we're pro-EU and we're pro-union as well, they're going to have a lot of feedback and stick on that too, Frank. So I'm not sure. It just seems to me an unnecessarily cluttered message and an unnecessarily cluttered title. You know, if they want to make it pro-Brexit versus pro-Remain, then say that loudly and clearly. Don't drag in simple local politics, because that will annoy the hell, as you say, Sinn Féin, who might have been tempted to back them. We'll go, well, no, we can't really back a United Kingdom party. Equally, Alliance, I mean, who would take a fairly ambiguous on the union and, I think, agnostic, and say that people can make up their own mind on the issue. They too might find it difficult to back a party which seemed to be so openly, and so yeah, it's difficult.
10th anniversary at the moment of the crash, the time that it all went wrong for the banks, or the banks made it all go wrong for the rest of us. 10 years on, you get the impression that people are back on their feet. Do you get a sense now, as we go towards Brexit and the decision and the date, that there's so much uncertainty that we stand to suffer, or might we be on the threshold of something great?
I think, well, you know, Frank, I talked about it during the campaign. I was pro-leave, but I was pro-leave on the basis that I made my case with a number of newspapers and platforms. It was nothing to do with immigration. It was nothing to do with, you'll get 350 million a week back. It was nothing to do with that. It was simply we'd been given the choice, and I actually believed that the United Kingdom was strong enough economically and historically and politically to stand firm, to carve out its own role, to have a good relationship with the EU, to have a good relationship with other superpowers and so on, and to march on. The problem is that they have made such a dog's dinner. The United Kingdom government hadn't prepared. David Cameron was Prime Minister and called. The referendum had made no effort whatsoever, because he assumed that he wasn't going to lose. Theresa May is having to try and implement something she doesn't agree with, because she is a Remainer. She's never denied the number of books and allegations that you are pro-Remain. She's never denied that she was pro-Remain. The Leavers have had, what, 2.5 years now? 2 years, whatever it is, since the referendum campaign, to come up with an alternative. And we got something from the European research group, Rees-Mogg's group, a couple of days ago, which is basically just terribly, you know, whiffly-waffly. Oh, yes, so the border's not a problem. And, of course, we can do the world trade and so on. But they haven't actually negotiated with any of these people. They haven't actually come back with a piece of paper from the people at the top of the WTO or any other country, even come back with one piece of paper from one country to say, yes, we would quite happily do a trade deal with the United Kingdom. We haven't got any of that. And that's where they are, even for people like me who voted Leave. We have no idea what's happening. In fact, we have no idea what Theresa May is up to. I have no idea what Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg, because there's nothing solid. In terms of the economy, who do you believe? Do you believe those who say, oh, where it's all bright and rosy and we'll all be, you know, on the pig's back and loving it? Or do you believe people who say we'll all be eating porridge and peas for the next 10 years? Nobody knows anything, Frank. And I think that's why inevitably, and sadly from my perspective, I think we are heading towards a second referendum. And I remember writing the week after the campaign that it was so close that I wouldn't be at all surprised if 2-3 years down the line we ended up remaining, simply because nobody had a clue what we were doing. Because the EU hadn't prepared. They're winging it as well. The Irish government hadn't really prepared. In Belfast, the DUP, who were openly the most vociferous campaigners for Leave, clearly hadn't done their homework either, because when it was announced that we wouldn't be leaving, instead of being able to say, all right, here's some costumes we've done, here's some work we've done, here's how we've affected Northern Ireland, we've set up a series of meetings now with business, community, social, political, they hadn't done any of that either. Like, nobody had prepared for this result. And I think at the most crucial moment in British history in my lifetime, and certainly since the Second World War, we have been let down. All of us, pro-Remain, pro-Leave, we have all been let down by Parliament. It has just proved in a case like this, it hasn't a clue what to do.
It's also a crucial time,
wasn't it? Sorry about that.
Yeah, but it's also a crucial time in Irish history. Do you think there is a possibility that if they do crash out and it becomes pretty stark all round on the island of Ireland, that the Republic would come out as well?
I think that's very, very unlikely, because people talk about, you know, they went in when we went in, and I could understand that. And in fairness, it economically and some other funding ways, I wouldn't object. I think the United Kingdom did get some benefits in the early days before it became a much more political and supranational project. But for Ireland now, would they want to come out on the back of a United Kingdom, which is probably would be disintegrating in those circumstances? The huge Scottish independent movement, the independent or nationalist movement in Northern Ireland, perhaps a little Englander mentality breaking out when we've heard the language of people like Boris Johnson and others in the Leave movement. I'm not sure that any Irish government would find that sort of populist little Englander type of government a natural political bedfellow. I think they would, unless there's absolute catastrophic moment, which I think would be basically breaking up the EU itself, I would be very, very surprised if any Irish government decided, who's Prime Minister in England? Oh, Boris, yeah, let's leave the European Union and join up with Boris. They haven't prepared anything, they haven't got anything, they haven't made any arrangements, they haven't got any deal with anyone at all, so hey, we'll join up with them. I just don't see that happening, Frank.
You've made us feel good this morning, Alex. There's no doubt about it. In the rain on a Friday. Thank you. Thank you. The ever cheerful.
That's my job. I always say yes.
Positive.
Take care, Frank.
Vibrant. Alex Kane. His analysis, always very welcome on the programme. Good.